Welcome back to another episode of the I'm Moving to Italy podcast. This is Nathan Heinrich, and I would like to welcome you back to Season 2, Episode 23. Well, my friends, I am still alone here in Italy, and I have to say that this has been a very new and interesting experience for me to be here. It's certainly not been a bad one, but it has been an interesting one. And I can certainly say that I have always been very, very grateful for Alessandro, but I have developed a whole new level of appreciation for him, because while he has not been here, I have really learned just how much he does to keep our life here in Italy running and functioning in a very smooth way. So thank you, Alessandro. I miss you, and I'm looking forward to you being back here in Italy where you belong with me very soon. Anyway, so this past week, Italy celebrated one of their most important holidays of the year. It happens to be the very first of the Christmas holidays, and it is called Festa dell'Immacolata. The English translation of this holiday is called the Feast of Immaculate Conception. So it's all about, you know, of course, this being a very Catholic country. This is a country that is all about Christmas, and they're all about the nativity and all of the different parts of the traditional Christmas holiday. And if you are not a fan of Christmas, if you are not one who likes Christmas lights and churches filled with music and Christmas concerts, if you don't like the general sort of energy that is the Christmas season, then you would definitely want to avoid Italy at all costs, especially during this time of the year, because Italy pulls out all the stops when it comes to celebrating Christmas. They really know how to celebrate Christmas. Whether you are Jewish or Christian or agnostic or Buddhist, whatever you happen to be, I think that Christmas in Italy is really for everyone. Doesn't mean you have to be a Christian, doesn't mean you have to be a Catholic, doesn't mean you have to, you know, agree with everything, but I think anyone can still enjoy Christmas in Italy. Christmas, I know, in the United States has become, unfortunately, kind of an offensive holiday to some people. But I don't think it's become an offensive holiday to most. I think most people still love to be told Merry Christmas. I think people love the fact that it's just one of many holidays that's celebrated in the United States. But in this country, you are wished Buon Natale, Merry Christmas. You are wished Buon Natale everywhere you go, and you're just kind of overwhelmed by Christmas everywhere in this country. You can't go to any town, any village, anywhere, big city, small city, you just can't avoid Christmas in Italy. And I find it to be really one of the most beautiful times of the year to be here. So last year, as you know, we spent our first Christmas in Italy. But that was before I was really recording live episodes. I didn't start the podcast until January of last year. And so I didn't have the ability to share what was going on in Italy for Christmas with you. So I'm looking forward to kind of documenting that. I'm not going to go crazy like I probably have a tendency to do for Christmas time. I really love Christmas, but I'm not going to go too over the top. I'm going to just share with you really what it's like and what my experiences are being here in Italy for Christmas. So one of the things I noticed while I was walking around the town after I got here last week is that the center main road of Coniano here, right in front of the train station, they just blocked that whole section off. They moved in a giant carousel with, you know, beautiful horses for children to ride on. They brought in an enormous Ferris wheel and tons of Christmas trees. And they set up all these little Christmas booths at this Christmas market that you can buy food, you can buy gifts, you can buy crafts, all this stuff. And so really the town of Conegliano, the downtown, has really been transformed into kind of a Christmas winter wonderland. And of course, I was out with my camera and I did some filming. And they even turned one of the main squares, the old main square of the city, they even turned that into a gigantic ice skating rink. So at the risk of killing myself on ice skates this week, I am going to go and I'm going to go ice skating in this ice skating rink that's one of the biggest ones I've ever seen, to be honest with you. And so I'm really looking forward to doing that and sharing that with you in next week's episode. So anyway, that has been what's happened so far. Now, as I've shared with you, that choir that I am considering becoming a part of, if I'm going to be able to be here enough, which I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to be in this town enough before I join that choir. That's kind of the determining factor on whether I'm going to do that, because I don't think it would be right to try to join that choir and then just kind of be here sporadically. I don't think that would work very well. You kind of have to be committed when you're in a choir. But they had one of their first Christmas concerts last night, Sunday night, at this beautiful cathedral, this beautiful church, in about 30 minutes from here. And so I drove there by myself and parked. I got lost because I went to the main giant church in this little village of Mota. And I parked in front of the church. I got out and I came to realize when I was out walking around the church that I was at the wrong church. So I had to get back in the car. Then I called Alessandro and let him know what I was up to. And all the way from the United States, he did a Google search. He found the church that I was supposed to be looking for, that I had driven around because it was in the center of the town and you couldn't even see it because all these buildings were around it. So you had to park the car and walk into the center old square of this town, this little village, and there was the church kind of hidden, nestled among all these other buildings. So anyway, I was grateful for Alessandro for helping me find the spot, because I was just told it was in this town and it was at the church in this town. I didn't get any more information than that. So anyway, next time I'll make sure and find the exact church, because Italy is known for, no matter how small the village is, having oftentimes multiple beautiful churches in each town. So a church that would be considered a prized and beautiful destination in an entire state back in the United States, they have them here, multiple of them per village here. And so it's just a completely different experience visiting churches. So anyway, I walked up to the church and I got there a bit early, and there was a line outside and people were waiting because they had to check everyone's papers and green passes and vaccine documents before they could get into the church. And so, yeah, I got in. They recognized, of course, the people who were part of the choir were helping check the papers at the door, and the girl who was one of the choir members, Francesca, she recognized me and she said, "Oh yes, Nathan, come in." And so anyway, so I sat down. I actually filmed a lot of the Christmas concert. And as I was sitting there, before the concert even started, I remembered that I had thought back before we ever even had moved to Italy. It had been one of my desires to go and listen to Christmas music in a cathedral here in Italy, because I just love Christmas music so much. I start playing it, you know, right after Thanksgiving. And so I really love that music. And I've always wanted to listen to Christmas music in Italy in one of those beautiful churches. Now, of course, I never dreamed of listening to the style of music that this particular choir sings, and in English, of course. I was very happy to have, you know, the same music, but sang in Italian. And I still would like to go to a more traditional service, and I'm going to try to find one. In fact, I noticed that church that I mistakenly visited last night, I noticed that they have a wonderful looking Christmas concert on the 18th. So that might be worth going back there. But I have a feeling there might also be some here in our local town. So I'm going to do a bit of research and I'm going to try to go to a much more traditional Italian Christmas concert or vigil and listen to something in Italian music, or maybe where everyone gets together and they sing in Italian. But Anyway, as I was sitting there listening to the music, it just sort of dawned on me that this was a dream that I'd had. I had been really wanting to experience this, and there I was experiencing it. I think so often we can have a desire or a dream or look forward to something, and then when that something finally arrives, we're so caught up in the moment that we kind of almost forget about the fact that that's something that we have been desiring and wanting for a long time. And so I just kind of sat there and had a moment of gratitude and was just feeling really, really thankful. And I was looking up at all the beautiful paintings on the walls and all of the statues and the columns, the pillars and the vaulted roof and the ceiling, and just the beauty of the floors and just the beauty of what Italian churches really are. And this Italian church is really, it was probably about a 400-year-old church from, I believe, the Baroque period. But it was one of those churches that it's kind of an ordinary church here in Italy. It's not, certainly not like one of the grand churches that you would find in Milan or Rome or Naples or Venice or Florence. It was more of a local church, but their local churches and cathedrals are still very grand in comparison to the rest of the world. And it was a very impressive place to be. And the music was reverberating around that room, and it was really incredible. One of the things that I did notice, that it was quite cold in the church and everyone was wearing their very warm puffer jackets inside the church, and some people had gloves on. And there is no central heating in most of these churches. They're such enormous cavernous spaces that to try to heat them would be very, very expensive. And plus, the way the churches are constructed, to add modern heating to these churches would just, it would be very difficult to do it without really kind of destroying the beautiful symmetrical architectural details of these churches. And so anyway, it just seems like it's very kind of accepted that if you go into one of these churches that are, you know, 500, 800 years old or more, sometimes 1,000 years old or more, you can just expect that they're going to be cold during the winter months. And so people go prepared for that. I don't think I wore a scarf and a coat, which I was expecting to take off while we were sitting there in church, but I definitely didn't take it off, and I realized I didn't even bring warm enough of a jacket. So that was something I learned that was very new and very good for me to realize. But anyway, the music was absolutely gorgeous. It was not traditional Christmas music, certainly, but it was so beautifully performed, and it was just very special to be there. I guarantee you, I was the only American in that church, and maybe the one of the very few people, because there's a few members of the choir that speak English, but I was probably one of only five people in that entire church that spoke English. And that made me feel a couple of things. It didn't make me feel like I was an outsider, like maybe I would have at some point. But for some reason, I have become much more comfortable around the Italian culture. I mean, I've always been comfortable around it, but I haven't felt like so much of an outsider recently. I feel like, okay, this is my country. You know, this is one of my countries. You know, the United States will always be my first home country, but this is my new country. And I felt being there and celebrating this Christmas holiday and listening to this music with all these people together, there was a real sense of community that I felt. And when people got up and they were speaking Italian and I was understanding what they were saying, that's another thing. The more Italian that I have been able to learn and understand, and even though my speaking of Italian is still not where it needs to be yet, and I've got a long ways to go with my spoken Italian, the fact that I can understand Italian now, whereas before it was just a language that I absolutely did not understand what they were saying. It sounded beautiful, but I didn't know what they were saying. And you don't realize how isolated that can make you feel, even if you're there with an Italian. Like I would, you know, if I had been there with Alessandro a year ago, I would have enjoyed it very much, but I would not have felt quite as part of it I just feel like this is one of those holidays, just like spending Thanksgiving in the United States is important. I feel like spending Christmas in Italy will always be important to me. So it'll be interesting to see how I feel by this time next year, you know, after it's been 2 full years of being in Italy. And it hasn't even been 1 whole year yet of being here. And I've already noticed that I feel so much more part of this culture in this country, which is a really beautiful thing. So anyway, the concert was gorgeous. And even though it was very cold and every once in a while an elderly person stepped outside and then came back in, I'm not sure if they were going out to have a cigarette or what was going on, but it was cold. When anyone would open the door to come or go for whatever reason, we'd get a blast of like Arctic air that would come into the church. And that it was about 32 degrees outside last night at that time. And so it was pretty cold. And after about an hour of sitting there, it definitely felt a bit warmer. I think all of our, there were probably about 150 to 200 people in that church last night. And all those bodies together, I think, slowly kind of warmed the church up. But it was still pretty cold, and my hands, by the time I walked to the car and got in the car, my hands were pretty cold because I didn't bring my gloves with me. So anyway, it was just an incredible experience, and I really, really loved it. And I'm looking forward to more of those experiences this Christmas season and sharing them with you. So one of the things that I didn't know about December 8th is I didn't know what a big, important holiday it was. And so I got ready to go to my Italian school. And Alessandro had mentioned to me that he thought that they probably would be closed. But they were open on another holiday that I thought they would be closed on. And so I thought, you know, I have nothing to lose. I'll just get dressed and put my book in the car and just go drive over to the school and see if they're open. And so anyway, as I was driving to school, I noticed that everything was closed. And I mean everything. Banks, cafes, restaurants, bars, grocery stores. I mean, there was not a single business open at all during the day on December 8th. And I mean none. So if you wanted to get anything, you had to go out and get it the night before, because there were no grocery stores open. It's very different from the United States. You know, I feel like there's always something open for business, no matter what the holiday is in the United States. But as I've said to you before, this is very much like kind of the United States was, you know, many decades ago. And certain holidays here are very sacred, and they don't really want anybody having to work on those holidays and missing that time with their family, which I think is just so lovely. I think it's so nice to have a break, and driving through the town and having seen all those businesses closed and seeing all the Christmas lights on, I just thought it was just really kind of special. So of course I pulled up in front of my school. Of course, the school was closed, and so I had a day off of Italian school. So I just came home and studied my Italian homework, you know, and did my Duolingo and just studied at home. But definitely looking forward to just diving back in and getting caught up. And I'm not sure how many days off during Christmas season we're going to have. And Alessandro said he thought that there would be about a week or two off of school. So I haven't heard the official announcement from the teacher about what that's going to be yet, but that'll be interesting to find out how much time they take off of Italian school. So one of the things that I did this week that was kind of interesting is I went into an Italian post office for the first time by myself. Now, I've been in Italian post offices before many times, and as you may recall, Italian post offices are not the same as American post offices. Post offices in Italy are very much a one-stop shopping for paying bills, doing your banking, because you can have bank accounts at Italian post offices. You can cash checks there. You can send and receive messages. You can pay your phone bills. You can do so many things at post offices. And one of the things that I was there for is that my post office box that I have at the local post office here, I have a P.O. box where I get all the mail from anyone who sends me mail. That means any letters I get from you listeners, which I love getting, I get from that post office. But I usually can just go up to the box outside the post office with my key and open the box and see if I've got any letters. But if I've ordered packages and they're too big to fit inside the mailbox, then they put a note inside your mailbox that you need to take inside during office hours, and they'll give you your packages. So I had two different ones because I had placed some orders for some different things. And so when I got back here in Italy, I opened the box and found that there were a couple papers in there saying that I had packages to pick up. So I had to go back. I went late at night, and so there was no one at the post office at that time, so I had to go back the next day. And Alessandro is very protective of me in that he doesn't ever want me to have a negative experience here. He always wants everything to be as easy and comfortable as possible. And as lovely as that is, it's very good for me to put myself in positions and situations where I could potentially have an awkward situation. As I've shared with you, I've had plenty of those, and I'm sure that there will be plenty more in my future. But one of the things that he said was, you know, we know a guy at the post office, you know, we know a guy, his name's Massimo, and, you know, just wait and go with Mama, and she'll take you to Massimo, and he'll get the packages for you, and everything will be fine. You don't have to wait in line that way. And I just felt like that was such an Italian thing, but especially a Southern Italian thing, you know, to like have the connections, have those connections. Oh, I know a guy, I know a person. I loved it. But I said, you know, I don't think I'm going to do that, Alessandro. I don't want to bother your mom and have her have to come to the post office just so I can skip the line. So I'm going to try to go at a time that probably won't be too busy, because the post offices are oftentimes very busy. It's because there's so many different things you can do there. People are there for a multitude of reasons, and so they can be quite busy and the lines can be quite long. So he said, okay, well, if you're going to go by yourself, you know, you got to go in, you got to push this, you know, walk up to this console, this kiosk, and you got to type in, you know, what you're there for, and then it'll give you a ticket, and then you have to wait in line. And so I said, okay, no problem. So anyway, I went to the kiosk, and I tried to figure out which thing, and I finally chose the one that said here to either post or pick up packages. So I got my ticket, and it was number 109. And the person in front of me was 107 and 108. So I was basically going to be the next person in line for the packages and the mail pickup. And so I walked up to the counter, and this very lovely woman, she was a little bit of an older woman. She took those papers and she went to check. There were two packages that she found, but the larger package, she said I had to come back on a different day because it had been attempted to be dropped off, but apparently it had not been dropped off for some reason. I don't really understand what was going on, so I'm going to try to go back there today and see if I can pick up that final package. It's a really large book that I ordered that should be kind of heavy and in a big box, and so anyway, I'm going to see if I can go back there today. But that was another great experience. It was another first for me. There's always kind of an excitement whenever I get to do a first, especially by myself. And at first, I was a little hesitant about coming back here to Italy alone, because I've never experienced being in Italy alone without Alessandro. But as I'm here, I think I'm beginning to realize that it was a really good thing for me to do, a really good experience. And so I've been doing all these different things completely by myself, and it's a confidence builder, and I'm grateful for it. And so I think Alessandro's a bit surprised by all these things I'm doing. Another thing that I'm going to do today that I haven't even told him about yet, I think I'll call him while I'm driving to do it, is I got a notification while I was in the United States that my residency permit is ready to be picked up, but it said on my notification that I will get a text message when and where I can pick something up. But when I got back here, I checked out my application status, and it said still that I was going to be getting a text message of when and where to pick it up, but it also had posted where I can pick it up at the state police, the Polizia di Stato in Treviso, which is about 30 minutes from here. And so I think I am going to get in the car as soon as I'm finished recording this, and I am going to drive over to Treviso, and I'm going to take my ID with me, and I'm going to see if I can pick up that residency card because I'm excited to get it. And I have a feeling that maybe they tried to send me that text message, but I wasn't here in Italy to receive it. So anyway, you know, what's it going to hurt? And I'll try to record my, you know, my experience as much as I can. You know, I have to be careful recording in those kind of public offices, but I'll try to see if I can record that. And then I'll let you know what happens next week when I share next week's episode with you. I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes. One of the things that I've noticed here in Italy that's a real wonderful Christmas tradition are the way that the grocery stores, the supermarkets, and the bakeries, and the cafes, everything fills up with these very special Christmas cakes, and they're called panettone. And they're just traditional Christmas cakes, and there's all different ones. There's lemon ones, there's plain ones, there's ones with candied fruit. I've seen ones with candied tropical fruit, candied orange, so there's citrus ones, and there's ones with just candied raisins, fresh raisins, all different kinds. But anyway, they're just in these beautiful boxes. The boxes are kind of beautiful geometric shapes, and they're just, I went to the grocery store a few days ago, and I was literally filming rows and rows and rows and rows of these panettone. And I feel like it's something that people take to their neighbor's house, or they give them to people or their family members as gifts, or they take them to Christmas parties. And it's just kind of a traditional thing that is done here. And so, of course, I bought one because I think they're wonderful. I think they're delicious. I bought one and I had a couple slices and I gave the rest to Alessandro's mother because if I had it here in the house, I would definitely eat the whole thing. So I decided to get it out of the house as soon as possible. And so I bought another one because Alessandro's aunt is going through chemotherapy, and her dog just passed away, and she's having a bad reaction to the chemotherapy, so I'm putting the little gift basket together for her, and I bought another really pretty one that I'm going to take over to his aunt this week. And so, anyway, I just kind of love the tradition of the panettone cake, and it's such a very, very Italian thing, and I've never seen these cakes anywhere else in the world, and there's just something really special about them. So I'm going to be sharing in the video that goes along with this episode, I'll be sharing just kind of a couple, that cake that I brought home that I cut into, but also how many of them you can get at the grocery store. Anyway, I'll share that with you. So one of my personal Christmas traditions and one of my family's really, really beloved traditions is making these very specific cookies that were my great-grandmother's recipe. And these are persimmon cookies, and they've got a lot of wonderful spices like nutmeg and cloves and cinnamon and vanilla and all kinds of wonderful things in them. And they are part of my childhood memories. My great-grandmother, her name was Jo, after the Jo in Little Women, she would make these cookies, and they're so moist and delicious, and she would put them in these big round tins. You know those tins that you can buy cookies in? You know those butter cookies? Just, she would save all these old tins, and then she would fill up the tin with layers, you know, divided by wax paper, layers of these wonderful dark spice-filled persimmon cookies. And she had a beautiful persimmon tree at her house. And we would go to her house and we would pick the persimmons, and she would pick the persimmons, and she would just make them, and she would save them in her freezer because you can freeze these cookies really well. And so I just remember her coming to our house just year after year when I was young and bringing us these tins filled with these fantastic persimmon cookies. And it was just part of my childhood and part of my wonderful memories with my great-grandmother. And so I'm grateful that I was bright enough. When I was about 11 years old, I asked my great-grandmother to teach me how to make these cookies. And so she showed me at her house, in her kitchen, and then again at my parents' house, she came over and showed me another time how to make these cookies. And so I started making them when I was very young. It's one of the very few things that I actually bake. And now my brothers and sisters bake them too, and it's just kind of a family tradition in our house. One of the things I really love about Italy is that so many things that grow in California can also grow here in Italy. And so there are just ripe persimmons all over the place, in the markets, on trees. When you're out driving around, you see these persimmon trees just filled with beautiful orange persimmons. And the persimmon trees are very special because they lose all of their leaves in the fall, but all the fruit is still on the trees. So you have these beautiful trees that are just nothing but branches, and hanging from their branches are these beautiful orange fruits. And I just feel like it's sort of nature's way of decorating for Christmas. And so whenever I see a persimmon tree filled with fruit, it just makes me think of Christmas time, and it makes me think of my family, but especially of my great-grandmother and her persimmon cookies. So I'm going to be making some of those today, this evening. And I have some persimmons here at home that I've been letting get ripe on the counter. There's a very specific type of persimmon. There's two different types of persimmons. There's the Fuyu persimmons, which are the hard ones like apples that you can eat. And then there's the Hychia persimmons, the ones that are really soft. When they get ripe, they get soft and they're good for cooking. So the Hychia persimmons are the ones I have. So I'm going to be making some persimmon cookies. I'm going to share those with Alessandro's mother and his aunt because she loves them. And I'm going to save some in the freezer for Alessandro when he gets here, because he loves persimmon cookies too. So that's one of my childhood and my family traditions that I'm going to be doing this week that makes me feel like I'm not so far from home. And it's something that I'm going to be sharing that recipe on my website with you. So I'll probably also do a little bit of filming as I'm making those cookies so you can see how I make them and how they're supposed to look when they come out of the oven. They're very, very simple and very easy cookies to make. The most important thing is just to get the persimmons. So if you can get persimmons, and even if you get the right variety of persimmon, but you get them from your grocery store and they're really hard, just leave them out on the counter in your kitchen until they get soft. And when they're really, really squishy and soft, and then you think, man, these are almost too soft. When you break them apart, you get these little sections that are like little jeweled orange sections that almost look like candied, like jellyfish or something like that. So anyway, I'll be sharing that with you, and I'm going to be putting on my Nathan's Favorite Things page of my website, I will be putting my great-grandmother's persimmon cookie recipe for you to make this Christmas season if you have access to persimmons. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's episode. But before I say goodbye and share my surrounding sounds with you, I realize it's been a while since I've shared any books with you. And since I've been traveling, I haven't had a time to do a lot of reading and to share books with you, but I wanted to share a couple of books with you because I recently was talking to a listener of mine and we were discussing this one particular book. And so I wanted to share this book with you because it's one of my absolute favorites. In fact, I'm going to share two books with you today by the same author. I was talking to one of my listeners in the Bay Area. Her name's Jessica, and she mentioned that she was interested in this book, and I told her about another book that I loved. And so anyway, it made me think that I should put these on my Nathan's Favorite Things page with some of my favorite books and share it with you. And as usual, I happen to love the audio version of this particular book because it's just it's a book that talks about trees. And I know that might sound boring. It might sound like, okay, how interesting can a book about trees really be? But trees are so much more interesting than we give them credit for. And I know I'm probably an unusual fanatic of plants and trees because of my background with horticulture and botany. And, you know, growing up on a farm, my love of plants and trees is just a really intense enthusiasm. But I think that if you listened to just a quick little segment from this book, I think you'll realize why I love it so much. So the author is Peter Wohlleben, and he's German. His last name is pronounced Wohlleben, but it's spelled Wohlleben. Peter Wohlleben. And he has two incredible books. My favorite book of his is called The Hidden Life of Trees. And he has another book that I also really love, which is called The Secret Wisdom of Nature. They're both incredible. And if you've never read these books, I think you should definitely read them. And if you happen to enjoy audiobooks, the audio version of these books is very good. So what I'm going to play for you right now is just a short segment of the audiobook from The Hidden Life of Trees by Peter Volubin.
One reason that many of us fail to understand trees is that they live on a different time scale than us. One of the oldest trees on Earth, a spruce in Sweden, is more than 9,500 years old. That's 115 times longer than the average human lifetime. Creatures with such a luxury of time on their hands can afford to take things at a leisurely pace. The electrical impulses that pass through the roots of trees, for example, move at the slow rate of 1/3 of an inch per second. But why, you might ask, do trees pass electrical impulses through their tissues at all? The answer is that trees need to communicate, and electrical impulses are just one of their many means of communication. Trees also use the senses of smell and taste for communication. If a giraffe starts eating an African acacia, the tree releases a chemical into the air that signals that a threat is at hand. As the chemical drifts through the air and reaches other trees, they smell it and are warned of the danger. Even before the giraffe reaches them, they begin producing toxic chemicals. Insect pests are dealt with slightly differently. The saliva of leaf-eating insects can be tasted by the leaf being eaten. In response, the tree sends out a chemical signal that attracts predators that feed on that particular leaf-eating insect. Life in the slow lane is clearly not always dull. But the most astonishing thing about trees is how social they are. The trees in a forest care for each other, sometimes even going so far as to nourish the stump of a felled tree for centuries after it was cut down by feeding it sugars and other nutrients and so keeping it alive.
Isn't that fantastic? I hope that you take the time, sometime in the future, to check out The Hidden Life of Trees and also The Secret Wisdom of Nature by Peter Volubin. I'm going to put those books on the website. Just go to imovingtoitaly.com, check out the Nathan's Favorite Things page, and I will put a link there to those books. You can definitely listen to the audio version, which is great, or you can just order the books and just read them the old-fashioned way. Either one is wonderful. Please let me know. Anytime you read any of the books that I recommend and you happen to love them, I've heard from many of you who have read the books that I've recommended, and I love hearing from you. And when you read something that I recommend, please let me know if you enjoy it. I really love getting your messages. So email me, send me messages on Instagram, reach out to me any way you'd like. I love hearing from you. And of course, you can always send me a letter. I happen to be writing a stack of letters to listeners this week. People who have written me and said, I'd love to send you a letter. You know, may I send you a letter? Here's my address if you'd like to send me one as well. I really enjoy getting letters from you, and I also enjoy sending them out. I know it's such an old-fashioned thing to do, but I think I'm an old-fashioned kind of old soul at heart, and I've always loved old-fashioned mail. So let me know if you'd like a letter or you'd like to send one to me. Well, that brings us to our Italian proverb for the week. And this week's Italian proverb is, La vita è un sogno. La vita è un sogno. And that means, life is a dream. And I have to tell you that I was feeling like that this week. I was feeling like, especially as I was sitting in that cathedral listening to that Christmas music this week, I was feeling like, here I am, in spite of the struggles and the challenges that I've faced, here I am in Italy, and I'm living a dream that I had for so many years. And sometimes I have to pinch myself and remind myself that I am living in a version of life that I have always dreamed of, and it's not exactly what I imagined it to be. In so many ways, it's better. In some ways, it's different, but it is truly a dream. And without over-idealizing it, I've been pretty real with all of you that, you know, there's the good, there's the bad, there's the ups and the downs. But all in all, it really is a dream. And I know so many of you are looking forward to making that dream of yours as well a reality. And one day you will be sitting in a cathedral or sitting somewhere in Italy doing something, and you'll be pinching yourself as well. And you'll maybe remember, la vita è un sogno. Life is a dream. Well, that brings us to our surrounding sounds for this week. And I'm going to be sharing, of course, sounds from that Christmas concert. And then I'm going to share the sound of me walking into the Italian post office and picking up my packages. I'm also going to share the sound of the Christmas market here in town, here in Coniano. There'll be some bells from a different church that I don't think you've ever heard before, and the sounds of some people out and about, and just the general sounds of groups and crowds during Christmas season here in Italy. So enjoy those sounds. And I will be back afterwards to say goodbye.
Man che il percorso avanti di questa serata, in modo che possiamo.
Bisogno da...
Sì, sì.
Ok.
Ok.
Grazie.
La mosca via.
Questo qua non c'è più, per favore. Questo. Perché può rimanere qua 8 giorni solo, pacco. Paura che dopo vedo.
Ok. Grazie.
19:50. Faccio un cerca.
Ok.
Traccia qua perché
no. Ah, capito. Grazie mille.
Facciamo allora.
Vendiamo questo.
Allora, qua mi fa firma là, in quella padle. Firma. Ok, perfetto. Ok. Questo foglio a 6,69 euro.
Ok.
Che sono i postali.
Ok.
Qua. Questo è così, ricevuta. Prego. Okay. Qui sono dovuto tornare indietro. Perché questo è tornato indietro. Perché dopo 8 giorni, 10, ce lo chiedono al mittente.
Okay. Ok, grazie mille.
Certo, mai lo manderanno.
Ok, ok.
A posto, vuole lo stesso?
Sì.
Ok.
Grazie mille. I hope you enjoyed those sounds from this week's episode. And Buon Natale and Merry Christmas from Italy. I hope that you are enjoying your Christmas season. Whether you celebrate Christmas or not, I want to wish you lots of warm wishes and Christmas cheer from Italy to you, wherever you are in the world. Thank you so much for coming back and sharing another episode with me. I am so grateful for each of you who come back and share these weekly episodes and for our growing audience. Thank you for those of you who have written beautiful reviews on the podcast, especially those of you who listen on Apple Podcasts. I can't tell you how much your reviews help the podcast to grow. And when you type in the word Italy into podcasts on Apple, our podcast is now one of the first 2 podcasts, in some cases one of the very first podcasts that shows up in the search results. And that is very much because of those of you who have taken the time to write your lovely reviews. So thank you to each of you who have taken the time to do that. I'm eternally grateful for you. So wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice this week, I hope you are healthy and well, and I look forward to being back here with you next week. So until then, take care. God bless. Ciao, ciao, ciao.